WHNT, W8RRF, are you up, Tom? Hello, radio, this is W8RRM, looking for any beyond this morning. KD8HMT, 8RRM, looking you up yet? RRM here.
Thank you for the comeback, sir. I'm working with a crossband repeat system, and I'm just seeing how far away from my home base it works. Thank you for the comeback.
Well, where are you located at?
In Emmett County, out by Verdun.
Emmett County. I know where that is, but I can't place it. Okay, well, this is Roger, W8RRM. I'm in Gaylord.
I think I was getting kind of far away there, but thank you for the signal report. You have a great day. Thank you.
Okie dokie, you're welcome. You start with full quiet and you get noise at W8RRM. Thank you.
WDADX, listening 14714.
There's a voice I almost never heard from, Alpha Charlie 8 Delta Golf, listening.
Good morning, Mr. Jim. Long time no hear. Well, that's going to be changing here very, 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 very extremely soon. The new-to-me van, the one I'm going to be driving for a while, is supposed to be delivered to the Traverse City store today. And the van I'm in has been completely stripped out, and when the other van shows up, I'm going to go swap them, reload the van, and then if everything goes well and I feel up to it, I'm going to be putting radio equipment into it. So I'm actually on vacation this week, so I got a little play time to do some extracurricular stuff.
I was going to say, your audio sounds like you're in your home, QTH, with kind of an echo in your room.
I've been told this station's a bit on the louder side now. I do have a bass mic on this, too. It makes me wonder if there's an adjustment for it.
The audio deviation sounds fine. It's just that I know you're not in your mobile.
Okay, well, I'm glad to hear that, so... So yeah, we started vacation as of Friday of last week. I didn't work Friday, and I don't have to go back to work until a week from tomorrow, a week from Tuesday. So we're taking an extended vacation and just staying home, doing some things around here and tinkering with the cars and that kind of thing. So yeah.
You know, I heard an interesting story. We talked a month or two ago about you replacing brakes. Have you ever heard of having to put your car into maintenance mode in order to do that?
I have heard that, but it is not something I have personally experienced. How that? I watch a lot of videos and stuff like that, and I came across one where they had to do that, and apparently putting it in maintenance mode puts it in kind of like an overall neutral where it disables the parking brake, and that's why they do it.
Yeah, I got a little confused. You know, I was trying to read it, and you were talking about how you have to rotate the calipers in order to compress the pistons or whatever. And I got confused.
Yeah, it's a little, it is on the weird side. It really is. And they make a special tool for it. On my Ford Taurus, the rear calipers to compress that piston, not only do you have to push it in, but it also has to be turned, just like you're screwing in a bolt or whatever. How it from the inside, I am not familiar with, so I can't give any information there. But I do know for to collapse it so you can put your brake pads and stuff on, that needs to be turned. And again, they do make a special tool just for that. Go figure. They got to make it more complicated just so they can charge you more.
Oh, that sounds like a possibility. Okay, sir. Hey, well, good to hear you, and enjoy your week off, ACATG.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm going to be sitting here by the radio for a good part of the morning here. I almost expect to hear from my shop about 10, 11 o'clock, maybe a little later, because the van's got to come up from the Grand Rapids area. So I don't see it being here right at 8 o'clock, so... And it sounds like they're going to be delivering some stuff. So they, once it gets there, they've got to pull equipment out of it so that I can have it. So that is the intention anyway. So, but we'll be on the radio, and I see our friend Rick there is headed north. He's looks like just about Boyne Falls right now. No, not quite. Not quite. Oh, it's Elba. Maybe Elba, but anyway, maybe I'll get a chance to talk to him here this morning, too. Have a good morning, 73 WDAVX.
Well, you just might get a chance to talk to me. Good morning, Jeff.
Well, good morning. Long time no hear. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Working my brains out, but I'm doing well. I'm... filling in the president's position until we can get a viable candidate, which might be getting close.
No, good deal. Good deal. It's good to keep you old guys moving, you know. Throw something new at them just because.
Yeah, you get that right. I've been spending a lot of time in Harbor Springs, which is a bit of a hike for me. Up at 5 in the morning every morning, now that goes.
Yeah, more than I like to admit. I know, it's funny because my boss, every time I take a vacation or take a day off, it's almost like he's going to pack that 40 hours into 4 days, and it's like, okay. And so I decided I was going to take all kinds of time off. I took, it's funny because the way it worked out, I did not work a full week the entire month of September, so I planned it just right.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. Yeah, it's, if you know when you're going to take time off in advance, it's really easy to plan, but if it's short notice, it's kind of hard to juggle the schedule that way. So, but I don't take you for a short notice kind of guy.
Yeah, I'm not that guy. Every once in a while, I'll be like, "Hey, boss, I got an event that's coming up. Do you mind if I take off early on this day?" Or, you know, that's about the extent of it. But yeah, I told the boss that I wanted to take this time off, and my initial intention was to actually make a trip down to Georgia and do the Tale of the Dragon. Well. My wife had a career change, which severely impacted our budget. So that is out the window this year. But I'm still taking the time off. Like I said, I was telling Jim there, I was just doing some work on the car and sticking around the house. And I'm still going to do Hearstfest. Hearstfest is coming up next Saturday. So we've got that coming up. So. Still
going
to do some fun stuff.
Oh, it sounds like you get time to get things ready and relax a bit. So, have you been without radio for a while? Is that why we haven't heard from you?
Yeah, it's been a little interesting because they kept telling me I was going to be getting a different vehicle. They kept shuffling me from vehicle to vehicle. Ever since I got rid of the pickup truck and it went down south, they threw me in a van and they said, well... we may not keep you in this van. We may put you in a different van. Greg got a different vehicle, and I ended up driving the one he was driving. So I didn't put a, I was never in a vehicle long enough for me to actually put a radio in. So long story short, so my van is coming today, so hopefully I can, being I'm on vacation, I can take her with it, put some time into it to do some of my play stuff, get my computer motor back in, get the radios going.
Oh, nice. Just in time for winter, so we have someone to talk to when I'm driving north. Cool. Oh, boy. Yeah, Jim has been filling in for you. He calls back every time I start squawking in the morning, so he's been filling in a little bit. Haven't heard too much from Drake, just a teeny bit this morning. Of course, he's eating his potatoes, so he's probably listening to us talking about them, I'm sure. But no, that's good. I'm glad you're finally getting the radio installed. It's been kind of strange out here without hearing your voice. Kind of like you lost a whole TV channel or something.
Well, yeah, you know, that kind of warms the old feelers, you know. Oh, shoot. Yeah, I'll be honest with you, I kind of missed it, too. I enjoy visiting with everybody every morning, and to have that no longer there, it's kind of like, okay. Now, I did pick up a portable, and I was playing on one of those, but I was never happy with how that worked out of a vehicle, so I never ended up utilizing it. So it's, I'll just be happy when it's all back together and I got something stable again. And it's supposed to be a pretty nice upgrade. They're going from a minivan to a full-size Chevy, like an Econoline van, work van. So supposed to have shelves and everything in it for me.
Oh, they're going to load you up with all kinds of spare parts and everything and send you off for months at a time.
It'll feel like more like when I originally started here. I had just a minivan, but I used to have it loaded to the gills with stuff. So, you know, if I went out on a job site and they're like, oh, hey, we need you to stop here too. And be like, okay, yeah, no problem. I got the stuff right here in the van. We should be good to go. And here for the last few years, that hasn't been the case. It's been a matter of, sorry, I don't have the parts. I got to come back to the shop to get them.
Yeah, it's nice when you got the parts. It makes a difference. Especially when you install that part and then you find something else is also broken, you know, and you can keep going. But, yeah, that's good. Yeah, we had like Sprinter-sized vans at my place in Arizona. They carried somewhere around $300,000 worth of inventory on each van.
Yeah, I don't see them ever doing that, but I'll just be glad to be in a vehicle where I can get my stuff put back in and get everything reorganized and actually feel back at home versus you know, feel like you're in a motel, running, jumping from one to the next, and you never quite feel established. So this will be a good return.
I hear you. Oh boy, I don't know if you've heard. I know what I'm gonna get for my retirement truck. So I've started to gather things. For it a little bit at a time, and I've got all my pieces, parts, and everything I want to put in the truck all bookmarked on the internet and everything. So, but I got the radio I want. Figured I'd have time to program the thing up, and it's been a lot of work. I've spent couple and a half days so far learning it and programming it. It's a lot like my Bofang Tech handheld, which is actually an Anytone product that was rebranded anyway. But I don't remember the number on the thing, but it's a Tri-Band APRS DMR received air band and all that stuff kind of a deal. I've been plugging in all the Michigan stations and the talk group lists and all that garb. Been kind of fun. I've been following APRS transmit now. Next task is the APRS receive, how that works. But I got the thing because it has a remote Bluetooth head like the one I'm talking on.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool. I actually bought a, I think it's the Bofang 32B. Don't quote me on that part, but I got it specifically because it looks like a Motorola Apex radio. And I was laughing so hard. It's like, I got to do this. I got to throw it at the shop, give the boss a hard time. Says, hey, look, I got me one. It's just a dual band VHF, UHF port. I think it does 220 also, if I remember right. But anyway, pretty cool little radio. And I was actually sitting here tinkering with it a little bit this morning. Found out that the software, the chirp software and the cable for the standard Bofang actually work right in it. So programming it's pretty easy.
Yeah, the stuff that is pure Bofang works really good with Chirp. My 6x2 being a an Anytone, having Anytone guts in it, I have to use the special software for it. But yeah, most of the Bofang stuff is real happy with Chirp. So it's kind of fun.
Ah, there you go. There you go. Yeah, my latest project's been the Hirsch. It is, ever since I pulled it out of storage this summer, or this spring, it's been giving me little projects between the fuel pump relay. The fuel pump went bad, had some wiring issues with the headlights. I just got that done. Someone had, and I think it was when they originally put in the wigwag, when they, for the original car prior to me, and they used Scotch locks everywhere. So I ended up having to pull the harness off of one of the high beams, cut it completely out, put a brand new one in, and bypass all the Scotch locks and get everything put back together. I still got one marker light that's not working quite right. I got to play with that a little bit, but a little bit at a time as we go along.
Yeah, those things look real handy until they don't work anymore. I know what you mean. I like secure connections. Of course, just like you, I always used to have the troubleshoot stuff that was crappy. So it's nice to have good connections. Yeah, I've used them. I can't say I haven't used them, but. But I don't use them on anything important.
Well, here's the thing. I can't say I've never used them, but when I did use them, I didn't know better. Now I know better. They won't ever get used again. If I see them, there's only one place for them, and that's a round file.
That's probably a good theory. Oh, man. Down in the valley here, going by the Walloon storage place. That guy did good with that property, putting in those big storage buildings. Looks like he's making some money.
Yeah, good deal. I don't typically go up that way. I haven't been up 131 north of Boyne Falls and out in Owlong. It's not too far from where my parents are. You take the road there out of Boyne Falls, what is it, Thumb Lake Road, across, you dead end almost into their house. But they live over by Black Bear Golf Course. But anyway, yeah, I haven't gone up that way in forever.
Yeah, unfortunately, I've been doing it almost every day. It's been Harbor Springs on Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Charlevoix on Tuesdays, and then Friday is kind of a free-for-all. Sometimes it's Harbor, sometimes I'm in Charlevoix, and sometimes I'm in Traverse City, and it's just It's the luck of the draw. Most lately it's been back to harbor again on Friday just because of all the stuff going on. So it's been fun. We're coming up on year end, so I'm training my retail manager to do inventory for the company. He's luckily he's formerly an accountant and he's good with Excel.
Ah, very good. Very good. Oh, shoot. But, yeah, other than that, my 10 with 940F has generated a glitch. Reading on it, it appears there's some button cell batteries in there they use for memory for the clock and a couple other things. And the problem I'm experiencing is it appears that those batteries are bad. So I got to completely dismantle my home station, pull that radio out, and replace those batteries. Not high on my list because I'm not currently using the radio, but yeah.
You know, you think they wouldn't bury little batteries like that so deep. They would put them in a little external pack or something like that. Would make a lot more sense. But yeah, I've seen it done. I've also seen them soldered in where they've resistive welded them into places too, which really makes it annoying.
And that's exactly what I got, is there's two of them, and they are soldered in the board. So I have to actually tear it all apart, desolder the one set, resolder the new set, and get it all back up and running. But like I said, it's not high on my priority list right now. So it sits on my desk and looks pretty, and that's about the extent of it. Most of my HF work is done with the ICOM right now, but eventually I'll get to it, but the nice thing is the parts are inexpensive, so it's just a matter of time before I pick up what I need. But anyway, yeah, I say I'm just going to enjoy this week and do a little bit here, a little bit there, and should be, let's see, I go back to work next Tuesday, so a week from tomorrow. So it's a nice long vacation. I like it.
All this battery talk has brought back memories. I used to have one of the manufacturers, Fanuc, their CNC controls. It was kind of cool. There was a lot of information stored on, not RAM. I forget what the heck you call it. Anyways, battery backup memory on the processors, and they came out with a pretty cool system. So if you change the battery on the older processors, you lose everything. You have to reload the whole exec file and all. But they came out with a thing called the supercapacitor that was on those boards. So as long as you took it out of a machine fresh from being on, you could change the battery all day long. It'd probably last like 5-6 hours before the capacitor would drain down. I thought it was kind of a cool thing. You didn't lose a bunch of stuff when the battery died.
Yep, I remember those days. Oh, shoot. But anyway, Harry, I think I'm going to get off here. And I don't really think I'm going to make me some breakfast. So I think that's the route I'm going to go. So I got some red potatoes and some onion and some bacon, and hey, it might be a nice little breakfast here this morning.
Well, that sounds good. It's an upgrade from the Burger King stop, so you have a good morning, sir, and a good day, and enjoy your week off. Maybe I'll chat with you another time. So this is KI7 QMD Mobile. I will be clear on your final, sir. 73.
Have a good trip, and we're watching you move along here. Go, little truck, go. WDADX.
Hey, DMH Mobile.
Hey, it's good to know someone's working today.
This is my only, off day and then it's back to doing more consoles. So I got to do Great Lakes Energy with Carl, so that's okay.
You wouldn't be heading to Alpena today, would you?
No.
I wonder if Mike's going to do that. Well, they've got a call yet. We got a call over the weekend, and apparently they've got some issues over there. But I'm actually enjoying some radio time here at Space Station, so.
Oh, nice. Good deal. So. I just got blasted by a Audi with a supercharger. I feel ashamed.
Well, are you in the BMW or are you in your personal vehicle or company vehicle? The company vehicle, there's nothing to be ashamed about because it's not yours.
What's more embarrassing is the Audi was a, what you call it, an SUV, and I'm in the Beamer.
Understood, understood. The shame is justified. Oh, heck. Well, I don't know. I hear the, my new company van is going to be there today, so. Yesterday I got it, the van I've got, so then all I've got to do is when they give me a call to run up there and swap them out, see about figuring out how I'm going to mount a computer in it and get my radios all mounted in it and have it all geared up for next Tuesday.
Oh, there you go. Over the weekend I... We set up a little workshop over at Go Place that we can actually leave set up. We got through four VHF MTR-2000s with mods now. So we've got more to do, but we ran out of resistors.
Understood. One of those wouldn't be the one you got for me, right?
Yep, one of them is. So, as a matter of fact, it was just one that we... tuned up, but we didn't actually have it wasn't really spoken for. We didn't have a frequency put in it yet, so it's just sitting there. We didn't align it, but we modded it, so. Because, we discovered that when you align one of those, you have to align it per whatever channel you put it on. Because if you align it first, if you change the frequency without aligning it, the reference gets all off, and then the deviation alignment's all messed up, and, yeah. Makes me wonder how those were used as multi-channel base stations, because when you change the frequency on those, the reference goes off by like 300 to 400 hertz.
I'm wondering how much you can actually do via software, too. But I have done enough with the 2000s to warrant really getting too excited about them. So, as long as it works, it's all that matters.
Well, that's the thing, is all the alignment is done in software. So, you know. I forgot I was going to grab my coffee this morning, and my brain went on autopilot and went the wrong way through. That's awesome.
Yeah, I see you cruising along right there. You can, you have to be at work early, or it's at 8 o'clock, you still got time.
Well, that's exactly why I left early, was so I had time to go get coffee with a little bit to spare. And then I also compensated for traffic. But apparently traffic this morning has been fine. The time I compensate for expecting a lot of traffic, there's no traffic. But when I don't expect there to be traffic, it's really bad. So maybe I should just expect it every day.
That's a good theory. all right, well, I'm going to kick back here, and I was just talking to Rick, and I told him I was going to get breakfast. I got playing on my phone, and hadn't got up yet, so breakfast it is. So have a good morning and a good day. Don't work too hard. NWDADX.
We'll certainly try. Hey, DMH Mobile. Also, happy birthday.
Oh, that's not today. Not today, so, but thank you.
Then Facebook lied to me.
Yeah, he got another day yet. I think that's tomorrow. So, anyway, but again, I'll still think a thank you on that. It's close enough.
Whatever works. All right, we'll catch you later. NAPMH mobile.
Have a good one. WDAPX.
KI7QMD mobile. Drake, you only got to be embarrassed if it's a pink beamer.
Well, good thing those don't really exist here.
My good buddy in Arizona had an M coupe for a while, and he's a motorcycle racer and a four wheeler like me and a crazy vehicle kind of guy. He sold it because he was afraid he was going to kill himself in it.
Yeah, go ahead of the station.
Hello there, this is NATAJ. Just checking to see if I get into the repeater from Holton Lake. I guess I'm getting in. That's a good long distance. All right, thanks, guys. Have a great day. And I heard small sound. I can't think of what's called. Anyway, if you guys have a good day, thanks for letting me jump in. I just want to see if I can make it. NATAJ.
Yeah, you're making it. Got a little bit of crackle in there, but you're doing great, man. For Holton Lake on the 7-4, that's good. So. Yeah, Rick, these cars, though, if you're not responsible, they'll definitely show your irresponsibility.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They got some guts in them. Those Germans don't mess around. Oh boy. Well, I'm close to my destination. Just figured I'd throw the pink beamer in there to you. So, you have a good day today. Be safe. Everybody out there, be safe. Have fun. 73 KS7QMD. Signing out.
Yeah, catch you later, Rick. I'm not too far from my first destination here, so good timing. MEQH mobile comes corner.
NATAD.
NATMH, mobile, 26.
KC8, VSU.
Hey, good morning, Toby. What are you doing this morning?
I had to grab this out of the charger to talk to you. What's that tell you? Not much going on here. How about you?
Well, it was supposed to be a low-key morning. And now it's no longer a low-key morning. I'm headed over to Alpena now.
Dan? Ugh. There's my word. Ugh.
Yeah, it sounds like their dispatch had a computer go bad for one of their dispatch positions. They've got spares, I just gotta put the software and everything onto the new computer. And I'm getting a phone call from the boss. Be right back, anyway.
Hey,
VSU. Okay, that was a quick phone call. I'm back, anyway.
What was his comments? Get it fixed and don't come back for a week?
No, he was apparently he was telling me to not fill out a job ticket for it because we're not sure who it's billing, being billed to. So, just log my time and what I do, and that's all I gotta do.
There you go. Ah, well, it's another nice day. It's gonna be a good day for a drive, I think, for you.
Yeah, I'd say so. Just nice temperature outside, sun's out. Currently it's in my face, but that'll be not a problem here in the next hour or so. So, yeah, it's not bad.
What's your weekend off? What'd you do fun and exciting?
Oh, I spent all of Saturday at Joe's place. We modified a whole bunch of MTR 2000 repeaters. Some of them are spoken for, some of them are just spares, so we actually have more to do. We just ran out of parts to continue modifying them, and I'll tell you what, the little resistors that we're taking off those boards are, they're pretty small.
10-4, 10-4, yeah, I was supposed to come CC to the GMRS thing, but the first page went off it just before he got in, and yeah, I had to be out on traffic detail for a while, so I didn't get time to even, once I got home, I just vegged out. I got home a little bit before 4.
Oh, there you go. So, good deal. Back on Hammond Road. I really don't mind driving on Hammond Road, other than the part that kind of that needs to be redone. It's a lot better than driving on the parkway. Actually, yesterday was the first time I went over that way, and the other side of the radio is active. Anyway, yesterday was the first time I went over on the parkway and down Division, and I didn't realize there was as much construction going on over there. I really have no idea what's going on in this town anymore.
No, I know. It's like out here. Sometimes we wonder if they're going to finish the Torch River Bridge area. They did Crystal Beach Road, but they did all the way to the bridge and just all that stuff, yeah. I was going to bring up this radio. I got a new Veil Fang, U5RM. Just got an extended battery pack for that. I'll be going in the truck because I can do air and marine. So I've got to get that programmed up, put that in the truck, take out the UV5R, and I should be pretty good for a while.
Well, that's cool. Good deal. All right, Toby, I'm going to let you go. I'm pulling into Roy's here to get some gas and some snacks for the drive. Anyway, DMH, mobile.
Hey, Drake, talk to you later. TCAVSU.
RD mobile monitoring.
Hey,
DMH Mobile. TCAVSU.
Hi, Toby. Maybe I didn't make it. Hi, Toby. Any DMH Mobile.
I'm here at the Elk Rapids Harbor, enjoying the day.
Yeah. Well, I'm not too far from Atlanta here on M32, headed towards LPM.
That's a nice day out. Oh, I thought, yeah, the house, there's stuff I gotta do, but, I'll get it. And I got the snowblower going in tomorrow for a checkout for the year and all that stuff.
Well, only 6.5 months and that fancy stuff's gonna be here.
Don't say the word yet. I already have. It's been quiet, so yeah. Okay, Drake, we'll talk to you later. KCAVSU.
Catch you later, Toby. I need DMH mobile. KFA DNS mobile. KFA DNS mobile.
Hello, Bentley. W8RPM.
Hey, good afternoon, Ron. How are you today?
Good. The sun is shining. I have some work stuff that finally got fixed. It's been broken for days and weeks, and
finally coming together the way it should, so I'm happy, my clients are happy. The sun, like I said, sun is shining. I don't know what the temperature is, but it's pretty warm. I got the climate control running in the truck, and it is very pleasant in here. It's almost hot outside, so I am sort of over where you were the other day, and I'm on Black River Road heading for Akiak.
Oh, right on. It's 75 degrees where I am right now, and I believe that qualifies for boating weather for guys like you that don't have to wait for the absolute perfect conditions, so hopefully you'll get a chance to take advantage of some later season boating this week. How was your camping trip, by the way? Did you guys have some success with the weather and with the venue?
That would be yes and yes. We did have we had a little bit of overnight rain. I think it was either Thursday night to Friday or Friday night to Saturday. It was pretty minor, and it was gloomy in the morning, but by noon everything was bright and sunny and warm. It was really good weather practically the entire trip except for that one little tiny window. So we had great weather. We got to do a lot and see a lot, and we went and did almost all of Sleeping Bear Dunes, National Lakeshore, and Glen Arbor, and Leland, and we crawled all over. We put a lot of miles on. Pups were happy in the back of the car the whole time. It was generally a very, very good trip. No issues at all.
Outstanding. What a great time to be over on the Leland Peninsula, kind of in between the summer and fall harvest crowds at the wineries, so glad you made the most of it. I'm headed down to Ohio this weekend to train with Alliance TV, and it looks like our weather down there is going to be fantastic. We're going to be mostly working at night, so this little warm-up isn't really going to affect us that much. Looking forward to some nice mild and dry weather for this little outing that we're going on.
I'll tell you, the next month, 6 weeks maybe 8 weeks, it's just like the best time of year ever. So, and the crowds are gone and the tourist pressure's off, but I don't mind. I mean, I really, really, really try my best to not let the tourist pressure bother me, because we are, all of us up here are incredibly dependent on that cash. We're incredibly dependent on the influx of that tourist dollars. It literally drives our whole economy, and without it, we would lose probably 50% of the year-round businesses that we have, and that's everything north of probably M-55.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Sure love seeing them arrive in the early summer, but by the time that late summer is rolling around, I'm not sorry to see them go either. It's just ridiculous with the traffic getting worse and worse every year, especially, over here where I live, where the roads just are not designed for the volume of traffic that we've been seeing the last few years. And I'm certain the last thing that's going to happen is any of those dollars end up getting sunk into improving our infrastructure around here. But I'm content to mostly turn town over on the during the summer and let the folks that are here on vacation really enjoy it as much as they can. And in exchange for that, I have a really, really good time in the spring and the fall around here.
Yep, exactly. Well, we were commenting on our trip that, like M-109 is a perfect example. M-109 is the, northwest corner version of the Tunnel of Trees, only with a wider road with a painted center line. and I'm sure that the visuals there are every bit as stunning as you know, 119 north view between you and Mackinac. And, you know, we do that road regularly, but we do it on weekdays, and we avoid it on weekends.
Yeah, you can maximize your enjoyment and minimize your frustration if you're flexible enough to choose the right times. And that's kind of been my modus operandi for the last several years.
I mean, we did, I don't know when Legs Inn closes for the season, but we had company not too long ago, and we took them there. Honestly, we were in Cedar over the weekend, and there's a guy running a food truck in Cedar, and this guy put Legs Inn to shame. It was incredible. We got one combo meal and split it between us, and it was some of the best Polish food, best Polish cooking I've ever had anywhere. It was, every bit as good as Hamtramck. It was better than Legs Inn. It was on par with the Polish kitchen there in the harbor. But I was sorry to see Pleva's close, you know, up in Cedar. I used to get a lot of my stuff from there. I'd even mail order stuff from there, order some frozen Plevaline a couple times a year. I can't believe that place, how do you, maybe they just wanted to retire, you know, maybe it was a business decision, but not a financially based business decision. I mean, I don't understand how you cannot make money selling meat to the government, you know. It's just, because I think 75 or 80% of their Plevaline went to school systems.
Oh, wow, yeah, that would seem like that would be a good market, but you know what? Maybe the business decision was they've made enough money and were just going to retire.
It very well might have been. I mean, I know it was sort of a family business kind of thing. There's lots of places, lots of times where those generational businesses, sooner or later, you run into a generation that's not interested. You know, they just don't want to do that, whatever that is. And I've seen that a number of times. You know, I've seen it in various varied industries, from construction and, you know, skilled trade type stuff to restaurants to, Sheplers went through that, Grand Hotel went through that, just about anything that is service-based, you know. It seems like it takes a generation or two to build it, and then it only takes a generation to kill it.
Well, add in farms with that, too, and that's a crisis in our country right now. I went to school as a, you know, elementary school with a lot of farm kids, and knew enough about what they did every day with their chores to know that that was not for me. But looking back on it now, boy, it sure would be kind of nice to be that self-sufficient if you could be. Although they're under so much pressure, and it's difficult to not hemorrhage money anymore because of all of the regulations and everything else. So, something that I would like to see grow instead of shrink in our country.
Yeah, in the commercial food industry, commercial farming has done nothing but injure that and consciously work to minimize it, eliminate it. It's awful. It's truly awful. Not only do you lose the land, you lose the uniqueness of the product and the skill involved in making it all come together. It's terrible. I'm a big time capitalist, as you can imagine. I think the best government is the least government, but you gotta look at the big picture. And sometimes commerce for commerce's sake, you know, capitalism for capitalism's sake, is not the right decision in light of the big picture. But again, this is the downfall of a free country, and you can't advocate for less regulation and in the next breath say, I wish there was a rule that would have prevented this. You know, you, people do it all the time, but I'm just, I don't buy it, you know. Pick a side.
Yeah, but when the government's picking winners and losers and subsidizing how many other industries, you know, that tends to get under my skin a little bit when the ones that I think are truly important should be on the receiving end of that more than they are. So many of these other industries, and some of them are in my own industry, if it weren't for government money, they wouldn't work, and maybe that's the way it ought to be.
Oh, I think as a general statement that that's exactly how it ought to be. You know, if it needs a subsidy to exist, then it shouldn't exist. You know, if the market is not ready to bring it forward, then it means that it's not ready to be brought forward. And that's, you know, I don't care. Is that fuel cells? Is that hydrogen? Is it solar? Is it wind? You know, I don't care. People say, well, you know, the government subsidized big oil back in the 20s and 30s. I don't know if they did or not. I wasn't there. If they did, it probably wasn't a good idea. It probably wasn't necessary. Would have happened on its own. You know, but when I say I don't want to see the government subsidizing wind and solar or any other sort of alternative energy, people tell me, well, you know, we subsidized big oil. We subsidized putting gas stations on every corner. And I'm like, really? Did we really?
Yeah, I've heard that argument as well. I, again, don't know how true that is. Some of that may have gone into our second industrial revolution that allowed us to win World War II, but I'll just leave it at that. But there's a difference between government subsidy and government relief. Some of these other businesses that are dying on the vine are just so overregulated and so overtaxed that I don't necessarily want the government to give them any money to prop them up, but just get off their backs a little bit and let them do what they do best. And that would, I think, provide us some longevity and prevent some of these generational businesses and industries from just drying up and being, you know, just being squandered.
Well, you know, even this discussion, it's not as straightforward as it seems because, you know, I consider myself a sportsman. I consider myself an environmentalist. But that doesn't mean I support Greenpeace, you know. I mean, I like everything that they stand for, but I hate every single choice that they make and how to execute and relay and publish and put those plans into effect, or how to just let the public know that that's their, you know, this is their position. And I don't think that chaining myself to, you know, to oil rigs or to refinery gates, I don't think that accomplishes anything. You know, I don't like whaling, but I don't want Greenpeace to ram the whaling vessels and risk human life, you know. Everything's complicated. Some things are so simple that they're complicated, and many things, especially those involving lawyers or politicians, are so complicated that they're really simple at their base. But anyhow, if we ruled the world, you know, but we don't.
Yeah, it's a slippery slope when you start justifying the ends with the means. And that's where we're at with a lot of different things, but I think that's more of a conversation over beers. KFA, DNF.
Well, again, the radicals can justify anything. And before you know it, you know, you're shooting unarmed people on college campuses, you know. What does that accomplish? But I am going to visit a buddy that owns property or bought property out here in Akiak. I haven't seen it yet, but this minutes away. Repeater works well here. I wasn't running a lot of power. I did turn the power up, so the signal should be good. Just you saw the antenna. It's a VHF quarter wave magmo. Has a little bit of gain on UHF, but we're not on UHF. So, what are you doing out? Are you out crawling around? Are you home?
Well, I realized that one of my backup rifle that I'm taking with me this weekend was not zeroed, so just made a quick run up to the range on my lunch hour and got that thing back to where it needs to be before I possibly have to rely on it this weekend. So just about back to my house now and my destination, so I'm going to get back to work for a couple hours and call it good. We're going to downtown Petoskey tonight. There is a vigil for Charlie Kirk that we're going to check out and see how much our community comes together on this.
I think the Petoskey Emmett community will come together just fine. I was a little surprised that Grand Traverse County, Traverse City, held a similar memorial. I don't remember if it was yesterday, I think it was Saturday night, and while we were nowhere near, I just watched the news coverage of it, and it seemed like it was very well attended. You know, this is not a partisan issue, or at least it shouldn't be. You know, anybody, and I mean anybody, with the slightest amount of common sense should support the fact that shooting people over their political beliefs is a bad idea in a free country. Full stop. You know, there's nothing else to be said. There's no other justification. Last I heard, there were about 8,000 people that have lost their jobs over stupid comments that they made over this. But, and, you know, good. Freedom of speech said this to a ton of people. Freedom of speech does not mean freedom of consequences. So, all right, well, we'll probably talk to you before you leave. I don't have anything really big on the agenda this weekend other than going to the Gaylord Swap and maybe playing VE if need be.
Yeah, right on. I'll probably be on the air probably late afternoon like usual, so maybe I'll catch you then. Enjoy your afternoon. Do as much as you can to take advantage of this weather, and we'll catch you later. KF8, BNF.
All right, very good. Well, if the folks at my destination are listening, I'm on about a 5-mile final. 5 miles, maybe 10 minutes. So, and I wondered why Waze, both Waze and Google Maps, kind of routed me a little odd way, but looks like they might have tipped and taken me around the road closure that I wasn't aware of. So, all right, see you later. Enjoy the rest of your day. W8RPM.
Hey, Ron, I didn't want to interrupt the conversation there. I was wondering where you're at. Yeah, Akiak Road is closed. In that one deep valley there. So, it'll probably take you up around Black Lake.
Yep, downtown Hall Road. I understand now, you know, how it works and where they took me, but I'm just making the turn on 23.
Okay. Yeah, you may find that the closer you get to here, the rougher the repeater gets. because of, I think there's a ton of damage there from the ice storm. It gets pretty bad right around the house here.
Well, you're in it just fine. I don't know how high in the air you are. I think you said 20-some feet, 20, 30 feet. So, and, yeah, like I said, I mean, I'm just running the quarter wave. But I know where I'm going. So it says 4.1 miles.
Yeah, well, I should hope I'm into it good. I'm on my 900 repeater coming into the hub on All-Star, so I'm talking from my work desk to the shed.
Yeah, well, I would hope. I didn't realize how close you were to Roses. I don't know if you've ever been there. The place has been there absolutely forever. I mean, I don't know if it's changed hands or not, but it's been there and open with the same menu since we were coming up to Hubbard Lake in, you know, before Vic and I got married. So, late 80s, middle 80s, late 80s, early 90s. There's a couple places along here that are still standing.
Yep, actually my friend that lives up here, he knows the owner who recently passed away. He was the fire chief at OBFB. But yeah, we've been to I was there once. Like, usually we go to 211 if we're going to go out for dinner. You know, Roses is nice, but it's a little pricier, you know. but we have been there and enjoyed the food tremendously.
Yeah, 211's good too. It's steady, and they do have a pretty wide menu, pretty varied menu. All right, I'm just a couple minutes away. I'll yell if I'm lost.
Yeah. Yeah, we're just about across from lane, like 28, 29. You'll see our mailbox. The missus had fun with the red and white reflective high-vis tape on it. So, all right, see you in a couple minutes. WTPT.
Hey, Waze is telling me that it's on the west side of 23, is that right?
That is correct. It is on. It will be on your left. Our lot that we haven't developed, that is on the east, on the east, on the lake side. But yeah, this is on the left.
Okay. Same old sign. Still, I mean, seems okay anyway. I see some WAR PM.
Yeah, I can tell the noise is picking up on you, but yeah, you're still perfectly capable. Yeah, see you in a minute. There'll be a TPT.
KFA-GNS.
Kilo Delta 9, Delta 6 Foxtrot, monitoring.
KB8FK Mobile, monitoring.
KF8 ENF, good afternoon.
KF8 ENF from KB8FK, name is Scott. I think we spoke a few days ago when I was on Echolink.
Yeah, I think that's correct. Are you my neighbor in my subdivision, Scott?
Yes, sir.
Are you the folks that bought the new chalet recently? I think we stopped and chatted with you one day when you were cleaning up debris after the ice storm. Or are you on the other side of the road?
We're on the other side of the road, south side of the road in the gray house.
Gotcha. Do you have the bird dog?
No, not anymore. Yeah, I think you're thinking of Roger. He's got the wire hair or whatever type. We used to have an English setter, but unfortunately he passed away a couple years ago.
There's a couple that has a Springer Spaniel that we see walking around all the time. That must be like, I think you said you're the second house in, so I think they're the third house. So, okay. Yeah, great to meet you. Are you back in the area now and hitting the Petoskey repeater on your mobile rig now?
Yep. I'm running a an old Kenwood HT into a quarter wave. So hopefully getting through okay.
Sounds like you're right next to me. You're getting in quite well. Most of the area around Little Traverse Bay is pretty accessible on that machine. And it's quite the flamethrower. So, but yeah, you got a good setup there.
Thanks. Appreciate it. I'm sorry. I forgot your name again. Could you repeat it?
Yeah, no worries. Name's Bentley.
Okay, Bentley. Very good. I'll remember it this time. Anyway, yeah. So we bought the house during COVID, but ended up finally when I retired and sold our house downstate and moved back to the area.
Well, congratulations on your retirement. That's great. Hopefully you're enjoying the area.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Definitely glad I grew up here and moved away 45 years ago. Yep. And my son ended up moving up here, and he is a police officer for the tribe. So we decided to head on back, plus like to ski, so that was part of the reason why I was up here a lot too over the past few years, but now back up permanently.
Yeah, outstanding. Looks like there's been a little bit of work down by your place clearing out that power corridor that feeds our subdivisions. Did you see much about what was going on there?
Yeah, they've got an easement through there and the overhead power lines, which I think every time they break, our sub goes out. So that was Great Lakes cleaning it up, and kind of irritated a little bit because my neighbor on the other side of the power line and I split the cost of a chipper, and we ended up clearing a lot of that stuff out ourselves, and if we would have just waited, they probably would have done it for us.
Ah, well, at least you got to run a cool piece of equipment for a little bit.
Yeah. It's always fun to rent something and then learn how to use it. And I've been thinking about renting a stump grinder next.
Yeah, I don't know how fun that would be. To me, that looks more like jackhammer work. You know, you hold on as tight as you can and hope that it doesn't get out of control on you, but good luck with that. I like to leave that one to the professionals.
Yeah, I'll probably not be in any rush to do it, so we'll see. We're still trying to keep an eye on any other branches or trees which might be prone to come down, but I think as far as the house is concerned, we're pretty well in the clear now, and I guess on the plus side, now we're able to finally grow some grass in our backyard.
Yeah, that's one way to do it for sure. I took out a lot of trees in my yard for that reason, to kind of try to keep the moss at bay up here, but it seems like it's worked out pretty well for me. But, I took out a dozen trees in my front yard, and that really made a difference.
Well, that sounds good. And, you know, even though it's nice with shade to stay cool, we generally get to stay cool anyway because of the bay.
Yeah, a few years back there were some straight line winds that came through this area. There was a tornado in the area, and I think your neighbor to the other side of you, the folks with the Springer Spaniel I was mentioning, they had a ton of trees in their yard, and now they've got a great big wide open backyard. So whenever I see them, kind of tease them a little bit and say, well, you got all that work to mow grass now, whether you want it or not.
Yeah. Oh, well, I don't mind it. I it only takes me like 5 minutes, 10 minutes to cut my backyard, so we were downstate. I had a decent sized yard. It wasn't a huge one, but it was all sloped. So there was no level ground at all in our yard, and that was kind of a pain.
Yeah, I told my wife, I guess it's been 5 or 10 years ago since we took all those trees out of the yard. I said, you know, it doesn't work. I'm going to all rock in the yard and just gonna kill weeds.
Yeah, that's for sure. So how long have you been a ham?
Just got my ticket in July, as a matter of fact. I've been playing around with GMRS for a couple years now, and had a couple of knee surgeries this year, and during one of the recoveries I decided to study up and get my license, and I've been playing around with that a little bit since. I've got a DMR radio too that I've been playing with, and built myself a little hotspot, which I'm having some limited success with. But yeah, it's been fun and it's been pretty cool.
All right. Very good. Yeah, I've got DMR also and a hotspot. I've had that for 6-7 years. DV Mega with running PiStar. And I've been thinking about trying out the W0CHP, which looks like it might have a few other features, or at least maybe a little bit cleaner, but I don't know, it's fun. And I got my license probably back around 1976-77, so I guess it's been over 50 years. Do you have an HF rig?
I've been looking at and considering maybe for my general this winter, and setting up an HF antenna. Got plenty of trees in my backyard here where I think I can build myself a pretty effective dipole for some of the higher bands. So we'll see. It's on my list. I got a buddy of mine that is interested as well. So he and I are kind of doing things in tandem. And I'm not necessarily looking to talk to people around the world. And I would just like to extend my local communications a little bit further and more effectively. But if I could get 30, 40, 50 miles, I think that would be fantastic. Simplex is just really tough around here on the FM bands because it's just so hilly and difficult.
Yeah, that's true. At least where we're at, it's probably not so bad facing south and, I don't know, maybe somewhat southeast. Of course, we're kind of in a valley, so I suppose we can go north towards the Soup pretty well, too, but anyway. HF is pretty hot right now with the current cycle, and as far as the dipole goes, I've made my own antennas, but I ended up going the easy way out this last time, and I got a off-center fed dipole made by Palomar. And, I really like that, and it works pretty much all bands.
I just got a phone call, KF8ENF.
Kido, KB8FK.
All right, Scott, I'm back.
All righty. Well, I'm just went past the state park, so repeater is definitely solid.
Yeah, for sure. So you said that what antenna are you using for HF that you're having good luck with?
It's an off-center fed. It's also called the Carolina Wyndham, but it's like One leg is 45 feet and the other one's 90. I've got it up probably 30 feet at the peak, and then the legs are sloped down like an inverted V, and I've worked Europe and New Zealand and on 100 watts. So, I mean, I've never been one for putting up a tower or doing all that stuff, but dipoles, you know, are easy to make and can work pretty well, especially now.
Yeah, that's the reason I was thinking about a dipole, just because it's easy, and instead of, 90-degree legs, I was thinking about doing something like a 45-degree legs on it. I heard that can be pretty effective. And the setup I have just outside my shack, it would be easy to run out to that spot. It's unobtrusive in the neighborhood, and, it's not going to scream that, you know, there's a radio station there. So that's what I was thinking about to get started with. Still looking at a couple of different HF rigs. Not sure exactly what I want to settle on with that, but just looking at it. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, okay. I just bought a FT991A a few months back, and I started with an old Kenwood DS520, and then an 847 Yaesu, but I like that radio. I mean, price-wise, I've not been keeping up with prices, and so it was like a little over $1,000, and it's they call it like a shack in a box. It's 160 to 6 meter HF, it's also got 2 meters and 70 centimeters, and it runs System Fusion also. So it's got a built-in tuner. It's I really like it.
Yeah, I've been looking at something similar. So when I got my ticket, I bought myself a nice UHF, VHF radio. I bought an Icom 5100, and I really, really like the Icom stuff so far. And they've got a shack-in-the-box model. I can't remember the model number off the top of my head. Is it a 6100 or a 7100? But that looked like a pretty compelling option. And it's like right around that same price range like your Yaesu that you were talking about. So I thought perhaps what I'd do is I'd take the 5100 that's in my shack and move that to my truck and have the shack-in-the-box for the shack. And I think that might be a good solution.
Yeah, sounds like it. I'll have to take a look at that. I think it's probably got SDR capability in it, too. All right, well, I'm just pulling into the driveway, so nice talking with you, and hope to run into you again if you're out for a walk or whatever. 73 for now, KF8ENF from KB8FK.
Yeah, great catching you on the air again, Scott. Take care. Hope to run into you soon. KF8ENF.
Yep, 73 Bentley. Catch you later. KB8FK, now clear.
KF8ENF.
Next short time check-in, please.
Whiskey Baker 8, Whiskey and Vodka. Tom and Cadillac, short time.
Okay, Tom, I got you. Next short time check-in, please.
Drink, 8 DMH.
Okay, Drake, I've got you.
Dave, K8WP.
Okay, no other stations heard. Go to the top of the short time list. UAM, Caleb, go ahead with your transmission, and Tom, stand by.
I think he checked in and out.
All right, thanks for that. I'll mark him in and out, and if he hears us talking, he'll pop back in. Okay, next up, Tom, W8WIV, Whiskey and Vodka. Tom, go ahead with your transmission.
Hey, Debbie, I think it's to you, Tony. W-A-W-Y-V, Tommy, on Cadillac. Also, K-E-W-P-E, Dr. Dave checked in. I don't know if you heard him or not. Anyway, had a pretty good day today. I worked. One class was kind of crappy, but the other five were excellent. So, you know, you always get one bogus one. You know, it wouldn't be a challenging day if you didn't. Anyway, but it worked. I'll probably be home tomorrow. Working Thursday, though. Anyhow, not a whole lot going on here. Could have had somebody come in, construction company. Got to check my front door. I need it widened. I've got a 32-inch door. We have trouble getting stuff through it. I couldn't get a wheelchair through it, that's for sure. And so we're going to look into having that expanded to 36 inches so we can, we'll be able to function better. Anyway, that's about it. I don't coming tomorrow to, back. I know we won't, to down the page. A week or so, maybe. We'll see. Anyway, everybody have a great evening. Thanks for letting me in in a short time, and take care. Back to that control. WBAWYD.
Hey, Tom, thanks for that. That door widening project sounds like it could be a major thing. Hopefully you can get it done before the wintertime. Just hope everything works out well for you. This is Kevin, operating tonight as Net Control Station W8TCM. I heard we had Drake at ADMH. Drake, go ahead with your transmission, and Dave, K8WPE.
Hey, good evening, everybody, ADMH. In the process of making food, hold on, how do I, there we go. Trying to figure out how to operate this combination air fryer microwave thing in my job. Anyway, over the weekend was pretty productive to modify, four or five repeaters this weekend for their Motorola MTR-2000s, modified them for the ham band, and got them all lined and ready to go. We still have more left. And we, as in Joe and I, and it's Sian and I, have been working on this project, and we still have more left. We had to order more resistors, and we've really got the soldering surface mount resistor, that whole program onto it. These little itty bitty tiny resistors onto a surface mount board dealio. We've got that down to a science now. We can do them in about 5-10 minutes, not including the alignment, because that takes a while. But it was fun. We're probably going to do it again shortly, because we got quite a few more to do. So, and we're going to be running around the state with our like a chicken with their heads cut off, because I've got console upgrades to do, and that's what I've been doing for the past couple weeks. So I'm going to be all over the place. Kevin, you're doing a good job. You were a little rough in the beginning, and now it's clearing up. So now we can actually understand you. So there you go. Back to that control on 8DMH.
All right, great. Very good. As usual, you sound like a very busy guy, and you got your hands full. And good to hear that you figured out a good way to get those surface mount resistors down. They can be a real pain in the butt if you don't know what you're doing initially. Anyway, next up, I believe we had Dave, KWPD. Dave, would you like to go ahead with your transmission, please?
Okay, good evening, Kevin, WATCMK, 8WPE. Beautiful day. Boy, I'll tell you, it's just gorgeous. Sad we've got this whole beautiful week, and my job is to start pulling bolts out of the water and getting them ready to winterize and then storage, and, you know, we're getting our second drink of summer, but my enthusiasm for boating has dissipated. Now it's time to get it all done and start waiting for those leaves to fall, and we'll work on those. And in between, play a little ham radio. So, yeah, you were really noisy. The repeater was very noisy to begin with. I couldn't tell who was there and what you were saying, but it's clearing up. So the inner mod is still a problem, and somebody needs to cut some stubs to try and eliminate some of that interference. Too many transmitters stacked on top of each other, all on the same tower. Sounds like fun. Back to you, Kevin, WATCMK8WPE.
Yeah, Dave, I can sympathize with you with all this great weather we're having, and you're thinking about pulling boats out. Ours is probably not going to come out till the end of the month, so we've been trying to squeeze every last drop of summer out of the weather we've got left. Yesterday we were out on Spider Lake, cruising for a while, and it was great. The lake was not too many boats out there. And today we went out and visited Tony and Rose at the campground out in Mesick. So it's been a nice couple of days driving around enjoying it. And I'm just going to keep squeezing it until it gets cold. That's all for me. At this point, we're going to have EchoLink check-ins, and there will be a short delay of a few seconds for the EchoLink traffic to propagate through the net. So at this point, I'll stand by for stations checking in using EchoLink. With EchoLink check-in, please call now.
This is Tony. Kilo Echo 8, Sierra Bravo Zulu. Yeah, I'm calling on EchoLink from the Hoden Pile Pond. I have kind of a rough signal here. I will tell Tom that even with whiskey and vodka, I wouldn't sound as good as Kevin sounds doing the net. And I don't have a whole lot to share with you. I know that the weather has been beautiful the last 8 days down here on the Hoden Pile Pond. And great, just a great place to end the summer, begin the fall. What else was I going to say? Well, Dave, a message to Dave. It sounds like you spend half the season putting your boats in the water and half the season taking them out. So with that, back to net control, and you guys enjoy the evening. Nice talking to you. KE8FBZ, back to net.
Okay, Tony, very good. Long time no see, huh? Yeah, we had a good ride home. It was nice spending some time with you guys out at the campground today. Beautiful campground. If anybody has a chance to go camping next year, Northern Exposure is definitely one of those places to look up. Do we have any other EchoLink check-ins? None heard. At this point, we will start accepting general check-in. This is WATCM Net Control. Newly licensed hams, this is your check-in as well. Could I have the first general check-in, please? Name and call sign.
Kevin, I did not catch your...
I got you. You're intermittently holding the repeater, but I know it's you. And my tonight, what item are
are in your go box that you consider the most essential. So go ahead and give it a try, Christopher, and we can pick out.
Oh, as far as things in my go box that are most important to me, say my first aid supplies is what is most critical to me. I always keep a tourniquet and chest seals as well as some other bandages on me at all times, just because those are things that can make or break a life and death situation that are very easy for me to carry, so I can't find the excuse not to. Anyhow, that's my input on that. I had a great week out camping with Chloe and Cindy this weekend. We also had a farm where we had about 30, 40 kids out here at the farm on Friday afternoon, doing some relay races and fun stuff like that. So, I'm staying busy, but definitely enjoying the nice weather. Back to you, Kevin.
Hey, very good, Christopher. I kind of missed you at the farmer's market yesterday. Your lovely wife was busy as usual, running the whole show, managing the kids, and we missed you. I did have a message to pass on, which she might have passed on to you. I'm still looking at the antenna you gave me. I've got some details on that, but I'd rather put that into more of a detailed report than just to throw some numbers at you. Maybe even get you a sweep graph of the antenna's performance over the band. But sounds like you got your priorities in order, at least for first aid, and sounds like you and Chloe and Simeon had a great time at camp this weekend. And I also heard you guys had Farm Olympics going on, so great stuff out there. You guys rock. Do I have the next, the general check-in, please?
Whiskey X-ray 1, Juliet.
Okay, Scott, I've got you. Can I have the next general check-in, please?
K-8-W-X-U-K-8.
So we'll go to the top of our system. Scott, WX1J, go ahead with your transmission, and Pete, stand by.
Yeah, hi. Kevin, thanks a lot for taking the net this evening. You're doing a great job as usual. I appreciate it. Couple of things to talk about. One is this Saturday, this coming Saturday, September 20th, in Gaynard, Michigan, which is not too far to drive, is the 2025 SWAT Fest for the Top of Michigan Amateur Radio Club. There, as always, a good show. It's at the Gaynard Knights of Columbus Hall. The address is on their website, Top of Michigan, NM8RC.org, Northern Michigan 8 Radio Club .org, and they've got all the information there. So I just wanted to bring that up because it starts at 9 o'clock, runs through 1 o'clock, and it hasn't gotten a lot of press as far as I know, but I just noticed that today in the newsletter, which brings me to point number two. The newsletter is coming out this evening. I'm waiting for a final article, and then it'll be published this evening. If you have a story or an article or something that you'd like to see covered in the October issue of the Cherry Juice newsletter, which goes out to about 400 people, send it to me. Let me know what's going on. Let me know you have a story. I can work with you in any way to get that done. But we'd like to have some content from somebody other than the group of five or six people. I think that's about it. I had a marvelous time this weekend slam jamming the Route 66 contest. There's 25 stations, and I started 3 days late after the contest had started, but finally wrapped it up with a clean sweep of all 25 stations. on Sunday after Sunday morning, and it was felt good. It was good feeling to knock that down and get yet another certificate to go by 13 colonies. So anyway, having fun on the radio, and now back to POTA. So with that, I'll turn it back to you, WTCM. This is WX1J. Good evening, everybody.
Hey, Scott, that sounds really good. You got all 25 stations. I only heard about the Route 66 contest, I think it was from Tony today. Even in the middle of a coronal mass ejection that we had yesterday, which was wreaked havoc on the bands, you were able to get through and get all 25, so that sounds great. Also, thank you for the announcement on the Swap Fest in Gaylord and passing that information on. It's good to have you back, Scott. And next up, we have Pete, K8WQK. Pete, go ahead with your transmission.
Oh, thank you, Kevin. Good evening, everybody. Yeah, beautiful day. Tony, I envy you down there on the campsite. I hope you can hear me, but sounds like you got a spot in paradise. So, who's ever been in charge of the weather the last couple of days? I think you need a pay raise because you've done an outstanding job. Best part of my go kit, don't have one. I'm not sure I'm ever going to have one, but anyway. I would like to comment, 2 meters has been open. This morning and this afternoon I talked 5-2 Simplex to Madison, Wisconsin and Northern Indiana. So there you go, K8WQK.
Yeah, Pete, it's nice when you get those surprise contacts on 2 meters. On Simplex even. I guess the conditions were good today. The CME passed, I think it was sometime shortly after midnight UTC earlier today, and it was, things were a little dismal yesterday, but a little noisy. I haven't turned on the HF rig yet, so I'm not really sure what it's doing today, but it sounds like you made the grade on those contacts. At this point, we have reached the bottom of the list. I will call one more time for any general or EchoLink check-ins. This is Kevin operating tonight as W8TCM, net control for the Cherryland Amateur Radio Club MeshNet. Any new general check-ins, please call now. I think that might have been Edgar out there. I'm not really sure, but there's a lot of 60-cycle hum on your signal, and your voice is barely audible, but you are holding the repeater.
Okay, I'm just going to be in and out. This is Edgar, K-A-8-H-Y-E.
Okay, Edgar, that sounded much better this time. I'm not sure what changed from your first attempt at transmission, but that was nice and clean, and seems like the 60-cycle hum wasn't quite as dominant as it was the first time. But I've marked it as in and out. Okay, at this point, there being no further check-ins before we close the MeshNet, does anyone have any questions, inquiries, or comments? Great.
Thanks, Kevin, for tipping the net. Sorry, I got the wrong name there. WWIV Square.
Oh, Tom, no worries. I've been called many times before. To be called Tony isn't such a bad thing. So, at that point, hearing no further comments, this will conclude the Monday Evening Social Hour net for tonight. This net will meet again next Monday here on this repeater, immediately following the 8 o'clock p.m. T-Barge net. This is Kevin, KF8AGY, operating this evening as net control under the club call, W8TCM. I will now close the net and return this repeater to general amateur use. Thank you, everyone, for your participation and comments. Good evening to all.
W8PCM, clear.
QF8ATY, WX1J with a light comment.
Scott, WX1J, go ahead.
Well, I was kind of wrapping up things. I wanted to talk about the slot test at Gaylord this weekend and the cherry juice. And I forgot to talk about the one thing that was pretty important. Two things. One is right after this, being just before 9 o'clock, the International Space Station will be going over. You can A, watch it, or B, listen to it on 145-800. There is also an excellent chance that the Aurora Borealis will be seen again tonight over the Traverse Bay. Just look north, see some white things, take a photograph of it, and you'll be able to see the greens and yellows and oranges. Last night it was spectacular, and it was a G3 storm. Tonight's a G7, G4 storm, geomagnetic storm, and so we've got a pretty good chance of seeing the northern lights between 11 o'clock and 2 a.m. And that's all the news I have, so I'm turning it back to you. Thanks a lot, Kevin, again, for doing the net. KF80TY, WX1J.
WX1J, KF8AGY, sounds like we're still feeling the effects of the sun. Thank you for passing on the information on the aurora tonight, and we'll have to see what comes up. Hopefully the skies are clear, and we'll be able to see it. So thanks again for that, Scott. This is Kevin, KF8AGY, and I will be clear.